You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Heard up, theater people, and welcome to your program, This Is Your Ticket. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your program, This Is Your Ticket, is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, your program, This Is Your Ticket, is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into the theater in smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. Today's show is the continuation of a new series called Act Two Places. I'm bringing on a series of guests to discuss how COVID-19 affected them and their organizations. As you all know, we've been hit hard with a complete, hopefully temporary, change of lifestyle and business systems during this pandemic, and theater wasn't spared at all. In fact, theater has undergone one of its biggest shifts, if not the biggest shift in the modern history of theater. This series gives theater folks an opportunity to discuss the effects of this shift on them and their organizations. My guests on today's show are representing Gilmore Academy, located in Gates Mills, Ohio. Fans may recognize them as guests from our earlier shows this year, where I interviewed them in focus of the Lorraine and Bill Dodaro Center for Performing Arts, their incredible new performing arts complex. And boy, is it ever. It's big and beautiful, and I can't say enough about it. Which, by the way, is the location of my last in-person interviews. Well, they are back to enlighten us on how an educational performing arts program is handling the COVID-19 crisis and their plans for reemergence. So let's bring them on. Hi, Gilmore Academy, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket.
Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
Good morning.
It's going great, and I'm so excited that I actually am recording you this time. A little backstory on that. This is the very, very gracious Gilmore Academy team coming back for a second show. The actual first show, but with me hitting record buttons like I was supposed to. So what a bunch of nice, gracious people you are. I mean, I appreciate that. Okay, let's have you all introduce yourselves and tell us your function with Gilmore Academy. Lucas, let's start with you.
I'm Lucas Clark, and I'm the Fine and Performing Arts Program Coordinator.
My name is Dave Kilkenny, and I am the Fine and Performing Arts Department Chair, and I am an instructor in music and digital media from grade 7 through 12 here at Gilmore.
Okay. Let's have Caroline go next.
Hi, I'm Caroline Vickers, and I teach music and performing arts at the lower school, pre-K, well, actually sort of toddlers too, pre-K through sixth grade.
Okay, cool. Eve?
I'm Eve Peresky, and I'm a junior this year at Gilmore.
And she's masked up like she should be. Give our audience a brief history of Gilmore Academy Performing Arts Program, and tell us how the Lorraine and Bill Dodaro Center for the Performing Arts came about.
So I can start with that. We've had a typical performing arts program here at Gilmore. Like, you see it at many schools where we offer music, we've offered theater, choir, band, the whole works, theater. And then what we lacked was a little bit of a space to perform in. We had our original performing arts center, which had a stage, which was nice. We didn't have many lights. We had folding chairs that were placed out for the performances. And then we had some trouble with where we couldn't use the room anymore. So we were sort of jumping around from room, from building to building, renting spaces to use. And then we had the very, very generous Lorraine and Bill Dodaro come forward and say, hey, they had a daughter who was in the theater program with Gay Janice, who's our renowned theater and drama and speech and debate teacher, come forward and say, hey, my daughter had a great time when she was in there. She learned a lot. So we want to start this project where we want to put up a new theater. And through lots of steps and fundraising and different types of events, last fall, we opened the doors to what is a beautiful space. And what I think is just as great as the space is the fact that the school has stepped up and said, look, we have this space. We want to put a lot of effort into this program. And they brought in Lucas, which was not a position we had. They created that job to sort of figure out how we can make the arts even bigger, which has been a great, great success so far. And we're doing everything we can to not let this pandemic stop us in our tracks. Keep the momentum going.
Can any of the rest of you get a little more detailed on how the COVID crisis affected Gilmore Academy Performing Arts program? I know it was really tough, but someone tell me about like the next day after your school. I assume for a while your school was shut down in the beginning of the pandemic. What was that first day or two like for you?
Yeah, so really right before this all happened, the building just had its grand opening. We had our first, you know, big event, the Broadway Princess Party, and then our first school production, the middle school musical, Beauty and the Beast Jr. And we were in rehearsals for the first all-school musical, which is something we had never done. So obviously we had to adjust plans for that and then eventually had to cancel it as we realized, you know, this wasn't going to end anytime soon. And it was tough because we had this beautiful new building. We had all these things we had spent months talking about doing that we weren't able to do. You know, we were going to, for the first time off, we have a extensive summer camp program and we were going to offer performing arts summer camps for the first time. We weren't able to do that. Obviously, a lot of the courses that we're offering are different. You know, we were going to try to launch a dance program, but that's something we had to put on hold for now, both, you know, from a financial perspective, but also it's hard to take a dance class in a mask.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's hard for me to take a walk in a mask. So I can't imagine what it's like to, you know, just breathe through the mask and keep it on and, you know, over your face like you're supposed to, which is, as we know, a challenge.
Yeah. From the perspective of like students, none of us really thought this was going to affect us very much at all. We were just like, yeah, because we usually have a 2-week spring break and we were like, hey, 3-week spring break, this will be great. And then we'll just go back to school and continue to play. Like none of us thought anything was actually going to come of this. Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, me either. Out here in New York where I live I could not believe that they were going to actually shut down Broadway and that they did it. I was like, oh, they'll never ever do that. That is, it's a huge chunk of the money that comes into New York City. So I think that there's been, in my opinion, a lot of denial over the whole course of this. And I know I get into it. And, you know, I think that's part of that is just self-preservation at times, but I totally get it. Thank you, Eve, for expressing that. I was just going to ask you that question. How is the team acclimated and kept Gilmore Academy going during lockdown and quarantine? I know that we have teachers for pre-K through 6 and then above, two separate teachers, that's Caroline and David. Caroline, how did you change your programs to acclimate for the K through 6 crowd?
Well, a lot, but the core values have stayed the same. I spent the summer reimagining, thinking again, and just came up with 3 words really. I needed to keep the kids excited, very excited, engaged, And then everything is really experiential and in some ways experimental. So I just, to keep the excitement, to make sure that they are not, you know, like, you know, we can't do anything, which is really not true. We really can. So, you know, just keeping them excited. All of the teachers are on carts, which we're actually, it's kind of funny. We're like, we need to put up traffic lights and we've all decorated our carts. But anyway, back to the point, which is keeping the students just engaged, excited. You know, it's the same. I'm just coming to you. So they know what to expect. It's still the same me, still the engaged me, still the excited me. And I think that was important for them to see on day one, for all of us, all of the teachers. You know, we're still us. We are still just as invested. In fact, more, you know, so that continuity is gigantic for all students, but especially in my opinion, the younger kids, because there was a little bit of fear, a little bit, how's school going to look? How are we going to do this? Our administration has been phenomenal, phenomenal. And so we put into place a really successful system. There's stickers on the floor where the students know where to walk and how to walk, and they are following it. You know, and there, you know, and then other protocols, lunch protocols, there are several, but I think the biggest one is just that's big picture. Where do we walk? How do we walk? So that everyone knows what's going on. So that is clear and that structure's there. And then with the teachers coming to the classrooms, keeping kids excited and engaged. So as far as my program is concerned, I just really wanted to make sure there was energy. And they knew that I'm committed to having it be the best, possible, program for them. But as far as curriculum is concerned, you know, we're still making music, definitely, in every way that we can. We're not doing a lot of singing. We can't, but that doesn't mean that we can't make music. So I'm still bringing in classroom instruments, you know, one class a day gets them, but I'm still bringing in all of the classroom instruments. I've actually been bringing in props from my incredible costume closet, you know, sunglasses, you know, hats, things like that. So they never really know what to expect. So therefore, they're really excited and engaged. So that engagement is gigantic. And then the last thing that I will let others talk, but is we kind of reimagine the course, because we can't right now play, you know, instruments that have any type of like any breath associated with it, if you will, right now. So that instrumental program still lives 100%. We've just kind of put it to the side for this year and kind of infused an acting theater piece for the fifth and sixth graders. And that has been it's just been awesome. You know, so the students have been able to experience that for the first time, which they really haven't in a formal way down here. So, and I've been able to use my experience there, and that's just been so fun. So the students are enjoying it. And as far as performances are concerned, we are right now gearing up for a gigantic video to put out for what is Grandparents Day. But all of the kids in the school are involved, and it's a piece. We're moving to it. It's going to be really cool. So they're all excited about that right now. So there's something to look forward to as far as performances are concerned. So that was another thing we all had to adjust to. What are the performances going to look like? But it doesn't mean they can't be amazing. And I'm excited about where we are. So that's the lower school piece.
And now you said something about a cart.
Yes, we are. Exactly. Music a la carte. No, sorry, bad pun. But we are, you know, we are moving.
I liked it.
Well, I was 23 and I had a cart back then, and that's what I called it. So it's been fun. But we have all of our supplies on carts. So the teachers are going to, the kids are staying in their classrooms at the lower school. So the fourth grade stays in their classroom. Music comes to fourth grade. You know, science comes to fourth grade. So math, we all are circulating. So it's the teachers that are moving, not the kids. And I think one more important thing to point out is we've talked about this is, you know, we've adapted each room is a different space completely. So we've adapted how we teach in that particular room. You know, how do we keep it fresh? How do we keep it exciting? So that's one thing I've really been working on to keep that excitement is, I may instruct from a different place in the room that day, you know, and so it's been just eye-opening for everyone. And so we're moving on carts. It's just a moving instructional model, which is working.
That's very cool. Eve, can you speak to physically what's going on for the students from your perspective?
So the carts and everything, that's for the lower school. But for upper school, we have, as Ms. Vickers said, like stickers on the floor. And so if I walk out of my classroom on one side of the hall and the sticker says go that way to the outdoor, but my other classroom is right there. If I go to my other classroom right there, like on the other side, I'll probably get yelled at. You have to go outside and all the way around the building to get back in. There's only one entrance to the classroom building, and my class is all the way over here right next to another entrance, but I have to like walk through the entire classroom building to get there. It's less bad than I expected when I first laid it out, to be honest, but it's still kind of annoying at times.
Wow, you really have to be in your schedule game there big time, huh?
Yeah, and they did expand the time between classes to 10 minutes, but you don't always need 10 minutes, and they don't want us, like, hanging out with friends in the hallways because they don't want us to get too close. So it's just, like, kind of an awkward transition point at times, but some of the teachers let us in early as long as we don't sit down because the sanitation stuff takes 10 minutes, and so that's made it easier to avoid friends, kind of.
Right. Mr. Kilkenny, now I know that you handle and deal with the upper grades. I'm correct,
correct
on that, right?
Correct.
Okay. What are they doing? What's the difference in your program as opposed to, say, Caroline's program? How are they different?
So I think the quick thing is to say how they're similar. First, and that's where the school has made a decision, pre-K-12, that there's no singing. They don't want anybody singing, and because of the particles that would come out when you sing, and you put usually when you sing, you've got a large group of people together in close proximity. It just spells disaster. And then once they made that decision, they then piggybacked off of medical experts' recommendations that they didn't want anybody performing on an instrument where they have to blow into it. So trumpets, clarinets, saxophones, because usually with a band, you're in a, I don't say a small space, but you're with a lot of people in a confined space and you're blowing things. And that's just could spell disaster. And we're not willing to take that risk. So they basically said, okay, what can we do? And they came to me and I consulted with experts and friends and in the field, and we didn't want it to go away. We didn't want to just say, okay, band's over, we're out. We do have a band that consists of pianos, guitar, bass, drums that you don't blow into, and a lot of those students that play trumpet. We're like, hey, this is a good chance for me to learn how to read bass clef. I'm going to pick up the bass guitar. And they started building that. We do lessons still. So we do private lessons over Zoom, which can be tricky, but we're making it work, especially for those wind instruments. We have a really robust digital program for recording music and things like that. So that has been great. And what's nice about that is I have a lab and the kids come to me. Like, it's different than the lower school. I don't have a cart. I'm lucky in that where the kids kind of come to me and we can, we have our own space and it's perfect for what we do. But as Eve said, you know, the kids leave and then I have to spray everything down and I have electronics. So it's a little bit different. We spray everything down, we'll wait 10 minutes and then the next group comes in. We've done things where students are at home performing, and then we've built a website where they can sort of call a virtual recital. So parents and grandparents and friends and family can log on, go into that website, and they can see that they can see the kids perform something that they've been working on. They can see their friends, and then the kids wrote short bios. So some kids, you know, the biggest thing we promote here at Gilmore is that we, with our music program, is that we take any kid any ability level. So if somebody comes to our drama program and says, I like theater, but I've never done it, we're like, great, come on, we want you. We'll find you a spot and we'll make it work. So we let the kids write their bios and say, hey, you know, I've been playing for 3 months, so here's what I'm at, here's where I'm at. And then the kid next to him said, oh, I've been playing forever, here's where I'm at, which is great. And we still, we're trying to give students opportunities. I think that's the big word there is opportunity. We are, under the direction of Gay Janice, looking to put on a fall play, Our Town, and we're finding out how that works, how we can do it safely with masks, with limited audience, streaming, things like that. And Lucas can probably speak a little bit more to that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Good morning, Lancer Nation. Today is Thursday, October 8th. It's pick.
You can meet there. And then, so what
was that? Was that morning announcements? Oh my God.
Flashback.
It's been so long. Wow. I know. I just kind of like all of a sudden found myself back in the eighth grade listening to that. That's kind of funny. I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
No, that's okay. We're trying to figure out how we can do things correctly without jeopardizing anybody's health and still keep our programs intact. I know I mentioned this earlier, we built so much momentum over the past 24 months that we had to find a way to keep it going. We can't let it die off. And I think as a team and as a school, with the help of the administration, with the help of Lucas, with the flexibility of Caroline, we're making it work, and it's been great.
That's awesome. And I was sort of flashing back when you were talking about, you know, not playing any of the, well, in addition to the announcements flashing me back, yeah, earlier than that, I was back in ninth, 10th grade, where I played the E-flat euphonium, or also called the baritone horn, yeah, which for those of you who are listening is like a mini concert tuba. And I just remember the ever-present spit valve.
Oh,
I mean, I just remember like gobs of spit coming out of this thing, you know, and on a towel that you put on your pants. But I hadn't even thought of that. And it's like, geez. And as far as acting and singing, so many people just spit. I mean, there's actors that are like, some of them have been compared to like the Bellagio fountain. We went and saw the series. I won't say who, but you probably know.
Yeah.
Just before Broadway closed, we went and saw a production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf that was up over here with Laurie Metcalf and Rupert Everett. And it was just like, they got spit in their faces all the time. And I thought, oh wow, I hope they're going to be okay when all of that happened. Of course, we were in the front row and, you know, so I was like, I hope we're going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
The splash zone.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. Lucas, can you please tell me how to what David is referencing as far as how you tracked all of the changes and how you made a sort of a historical document that was.
Yeah. So, you know, there was, you know, some upsides to the shutdown and the quarantine time. And I think one of the big ones is I had the time to sit down and do all the work that I feel like normally should be done up front that I never had the time to do when I started. And, you know, in working with the administration, they, you know, it's something they've, for all of the programs they've expanded, there's been a sort of a vision document that we come up with for the future of the program and, you know, what we hope to expand upon, what we hope to change, things like that. And it, you know, it's a lot of research based information, but also just different ideas like we've kicked around as a department. So it was really nice to have that time over the summer to really put that document together. And I attacked it, you know, as if, what is the future of the program when COVID is, you know, over, when we have a vaccine, whatever the situation is, when we're able to move forward, you know, as a fully flourishing program.
Excellent. Can you give me a couple of examples of what you've put into that document that maybe we haven't discussed yet?
Yeah, we touched on the dance program being something we had to put on hold, but that's kind of the big piece we've been trying to grow, because we do have such a robust music program. We have a very robust theater program, I think, as well. But dance, we've never had really, A, the space or the resources to put on. And now we have a beautiful dance and rehearsal studio, Black Box Space, that we can use here. But on top of it, we're trying to build, or right before everything shut down, we were building strategic partnerships with different dance organizations in Cleveland. So, you know, that is one thing, is building some of those strategic partnerships in the community so that, A, they have our space, you know, for performances and things like that. But they can also offer the courses to our students, so our students are learning from real world professionals, you know, as well.
Excellent. And I just have to say, this Performing Arts Center is stunning. I remember when I was in high school and I was in drama, we had this big giant room with like a cyclorama around the back wall. And that's where we did everything. But you guys have just such a lovely, lovely complex there. I think I know I've said this before, but once I was touring, I was like, you could pretty much put my whole entire New York apartment inside of the rehearsal space, and still run laps around it. That's not even taking into account, where they build the scenery and your costume department and all your great, your green room and your dressing rooms and the stage is enormous. And for those of you who are watching, if this ever goes to video, there is I think that's a photo. That's a virtual background.
Yes. Yes.
Behind Lucas. And, you can sort of see it's incredible.
So if you saw the stage today, you would see that it is now one of our virtual learning zones. So a lot of the high school kids are in a hybrid model. And for the kids that can't stay home on their virtual days to do their, you know, their classwork because of, you know, supervision and all of those kind of things, we offer the virtual learning zone, which is essentially a large glorified study hall.
Yeah.
So the stage is, you know, being used for that at this time, which, you know, we are lucky to have that space now because
sure.
Otherwise we wouldn't have really had the space to reopen and have, you know, these many kids spaced out 6 feet apart on campus.
Eve, talk about like where you're sitting and one of these desks or these pods, if you will, that are on stage. What does it look like?
So the stage is filled with these little tiny stickers on the ground. And there's two stickers that go where the front legs of the table go. So I basically sit at one of those long folding tables that's at family reunions, like for the buffet of food. And
sure.
You sit at one of those, and there's like 2 or 3 feet between the people. People sit at the same table. They just get yelled at. But if you're in the same class, they do let you sit on opposite sides of the table if you really have to, like if you're working on a group project. But I will say, that's in the virtual learning zone. But in my classroom the other day, we were doing a group project, and we were, like, not allowed to turn around. Like, the person in front of me was in my group, and he wasn't even allowed to turn around to talk to us because then our air is, like, going at each other. So the virtual learning zone is nice for group work because it's a little more lenient, but it's really just a bunch of tables spread out.
Oh, okay. Cool. And then there's sanitation going on in between class sessions. And I would imagine like once every hour and a half at the very least.
Yeah,
that was part of the, go ahead, Eve.
Oh, every hour and a half they spray everything down. But for me on virtual days, I come in because A block, I have a class like that's in school every day that meets. And then after school, I have drama club practice. So there's no real reason for me to go home. So I just keep my stuff at the same table. And obviously they don't spray that down. But all the tables around me get spritzed like every 90 minutes. Or if a person leaves early, they like spray it down so another person can come sit down.
Excellent. And by the way, Gilmore Academy is creating and evolving one of our future directors.
Yeah.
And that would be Eve. I mean, your focus is directing, right?
Yeah. And actually, so apparently Mr. Clark didn't know about this until our last unrecorded podcast. So we're planning to have a self-guided course basically next semester for directing.
Yeah, she's after I heard her talk about her interest in directing, I was like, well, we should do an independent study or something. So we're going to be doing an independent study on it next semester.
It's what's interesting, and this is just a bit of an off topic to COVID, but I've had a lot of people who direct say that there aren't a lot of specific programs in university and high school for directing, but it's such an important part of theater, and there's just so much that the director does, and including being responsible for the overall vision of what's being performed. So, you know, start up early, and, you know, Eva, I expect to see you here in New York.
I'm hoping.
Directing a play, right?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, now you talked about how you're doing a large-scale production in the fall. Now, tell us what that is and give us a little background on it. And is it this fall or the following fall?
If you're talking to me, I'll answer, but...
whoever.
So this fall, we're doing Our Town. And Miss Janice has been talking about how that's the only play we can do where people are spread out, but it doesn't look really weird. So that's our fall play. And then in the spring, we usually have a musical, but obviously we can't have a musical. So we're having three one-act, like, I guess, humorous plays, but I don't know if, like, all three of them are going to be comedies, but it's just three one-act plays.
Now, you were going to do Oliver for a large cast and whoever is interested in being in the show. Has that been postponed?
So
last... Oh, sorry, Mr. Clark, you can talk.
So, Oliver had to be, you know, canceled, actually, because, you know, we were planning it for the spring. You know, a lot of the leads in the show were seniors, so it just... you know, we didn't really have the cast to do it anymore. So unfortunately we had to move on.
Oh, that's too bad. Oliver is it's a big show and it's very active. And there usually are a lot of people singing at each other. So that's probably a very, very smart move. But Our Town is a terrific show. Our Town has, a malleability, if I'm using that word correctly, that you can do it so many different ways. And there can be a lot of like sections and pods of it. So that's actually a really, really smart, selection. And I did want to say, I mentioned this before, in the podcast that I forgot to record. There is just for anybody who's interested on Amazon Prime, there's a show called, it's a documentary, it's called OT, and it's the story of a theater group in, I think, East LA, which is a pretty tough, rough and tumble neighborhood. And these two teachers went in and they did a performance or a production of Our Town. It's really, really inspiring and motivational and just shows the strength of that play and how it relates to everyone. I mean, they had slides of their town and their people behind them. So that's really cool. And you know, I wish you guys broken legs on that because maybe I'll fly out and see it. And then I could interview you again in person.
Please do. Because, I mean, we're doing it fully masked too. And I think that's what's so nice about the piece is it really can reflect the time and the place that it's being, you know, performed in.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about masks. My sister is a substitute teacher. She teaches the lower grades in Alabama. One of the things that she talks about with masks is that she feels remiss because the students can't see her smiling. They can't see the facial expressions, and she's dealing with very young children. I told her she should just, in front of her mask, just go like this, make a little smile. And I don't know if she does that, but she only listens to me 50% of the time, but that's just because I ramble like a big brother. Caroline, are you experiencing any of that when you're dealing with your students?
I was concerned at first about the same thing. But what I'm finding is that choral director expression, that smile with your eye. It's smile with your eyes. You know, so we're really finding that it's coming through the eyes. You know, you really can express so much that way. You know, and I think, you know, the kids are adapting beautifully. You know, we're learning about each other. You know, so I'm learning from so many kids. I'm looking at their eyes truly for the first time in a way that's really meaningful, like really looking at this part of their face. And it's been fascinating. So, you know, I can tell, you know, how they're feeling right here. It's hard. It's hard to breathe, you know, especially when we get excited and we're moving, because I do a lot of movement, as much as I can in my class, and their own movement bubble, of course. But, you know, when we're busy, it is hard in the mask. I have to pause and go, everybody, let's just breathe for a second so we get our breath back, you know. But they've adapted beautifully. You know, they want to stay in school, Sean. They all of the students do. I'll speak for the lower kids. I'm sure I'm with them every day, but they really don't want to go back to home, you know, every day, all day. They sure missed, you know, kids of all grades have said that at the lower school, they've missed it and they don't want to go back. So their fall overall, they're sticking to keeping those masks on.
Oh, well, that's good. That's nice. It's good inspiration and motivation. And I have to tell you, after interviewing you all at Broadway Princess Party, one of the things I realized is how involved your team is with the students. Just the attention and the care that each one of them receives. That to me felt like the prevailing theme. And that is probably sort of setting the course for every decision that you make. Now, obviously, you have to be nimble about it because everything's changing every single day. I think that as one of your, it feels like, core principles, at least to me in my interpretation, is such a wonderful guide as we get through this. It's always, what can we do to motivate the students? And it's really beautiful.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Very, very quickly, because I know we have to wrap up, what are the plans? What does the vision of Gilmore Academy look like when we, you know, reemerge and we're all vaccinated and it's safe to go back into school without masks, et cetera? Let's start with Eve.
I'm going to be less bored in class, because when people wear masks, if they have a monotone voice, the whole class is monotone because they have no mouth movement or anything for me to pay attention to. And so I think it's going to be more engaging once we have, like, everything's back to normal. And I also think people are probably going to follow the rules more closely, at least I hope, because we at Gilmore, people make rules and then people break them and they aren't quite enforced all the time. But masks have been like, I don't know, I've seen like 5 people with them below their noses, but as soon as they're told to pull them up, they do. And no one's just out and out refused to wear a mask. So I feel like people are going to start like listening to the safety procedures more closely. Like, hey, maybe you don't like jump on your friends, like, and stuff like that. But I also think people, I think more people are going to try theater. Because even just this year, people who had sports canceled or didn't have sports canceled and they were just lessened this year, they started joining drama club because they wanted something to do in their free time. And that's really awesome. And it's just really nice that we've had like more interaction because the sports have decreased. I'm not saying it's good sports have decreased, but it's nice to have more people open to drama.
Excellent. Caroline, what about you?
Well, looking ahead, I want to keep the energy, you know, keep that going. And I think the students are going to be even more excited. We can't wait to get up on the stage and have our concerts again. So I, you know, don't really know what it's going to look like past sixth grade right now. I've found this a time to really reevaluate what's working, what's not. You know, how can I get better at what I do? How can I deliver my content in a more concise, clear way? And so many creative things have just come out of this. You know, I actually see this as so oddly, so inspirational, because it's forced us, at least I can speak for myself, to slow down and really look at what I'm doing. You know, and I get all inspired and excited and, you know, so I'm really, you know, motivated right now because the entire school is working on a project in this time, which is very exciting. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, most definitely. And that's an answer I've heard from several people that I've interviewed for this particular series. It's a time to sort of regroup. And I think that's true for a lot of different scenarios, businesses, things like that. I know with my writing career, I'm getting a lot done and catching up with projects that I haven't touched in 2 years. So yeah, it is a time to do things like that. So that's great. And there's more than you who feel that way, just so you know. And that's like in Dublin and, you know, LA, people I talk to all over. So that's great. David, how about you? What does the vision look like?
So I couldn't agree more with Caroline and everybody else. I think the hard part for us is trying to continue that motivation or that momentum that we had beforehand is going to be challenging. You know, if we can't do a musical, you know, we had the entire K through 12 on board to do Oliver. Had everybody excited about it, ready to go, and now we're hitting pause on it for at least 12 months. By the time, you know, hopefully not much more. How are we going to get that momentum back going? And that's something that I am really thinking about, planning. But if I've learned anything over the past 6 months, is that those plans can change on a dime. You know, you've got to figure it out. So, you know, we're telling kids you can't play your instrument anymore for at school. Now, how do we get that back? How do we get those groups back? You can't sing on stage right now. Hopefully they don't lose interest or find, you know, hopefully they do find something that they're enjoying right now. But can we get them back come when all this is over? And I think that's going to be a challenging part of it. And hopefully we can find a way to do it. Now, what we do have is that building that everybody is dying to get in and use and see what they can put on. And they've got all these great grandiose ideas that hopefully those things will bring them back. And that's part of the motivation that we want to keep going.
Excellent. Lucas.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that's said, but especially the momentum piece. I think we had so much momentum going. I think we were really growing and building something that, you know, was on its way to be, you know, we were going to do a huge production unlike anything we've ever done here. And I'd like to see that. That's what I'd like to see, is things go back to normal. I want to see the full-scale musical happen again with an orchestra, all of that. You know, I also want to see those community partnerships. A lot of that stuff, you know, we had because of the new building, a lot of people were interested in working with us and using the space here. But a lot of that has had to go on hold because we're limiting, you know, who's allowed on campus and all of those kind of things. I just hope we can keep the students engaged so that when this is over, you know, we can just pick up where we left off.
Something tells me that there is a hunger already there, especially when you're talking about, you know, theater kids. There's just such a pull to want to do that. And I think that we see that quite a bit, especially talking to Eve, when it's like, I want to get back on stage again. I want to do the things that bring me joy and make me happy. So, and I think that you are all so on track for that. I think what you've done, changing up your programs a little bit and keeping with your core principles and just engaging the students is way on track. And I completely, completely respect that and applaud you for all of that. That's just had to be tough and probably still is on a daily basis. So that's, you know, congratulations on that. Before we go, because I need to let you guys get back to your day, please tell our audience where they can find Gilmore Academy online and keep up with your plans for present and future. If you have one address that goes to everything, all your social media, that's perfect.
Yeah, if you go to www.gilmour.org, that's our main page. We have several tabs on there under Arts and Education. They can find all of our links to our different programs, and they can see all the social media is on there, from our Twitter to our live stream channel to our Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff. So www.gilmour.org, and that's GILMOUR. And they can also see pictures of the new space, the new theater.
It's a very comprehensive website, and it's really easy to track and follow, and which is great, because there's a lot. Gilmore has a lot to offer, not just in theater and music, but sports and academics and things like that. So it's a really nice website, and you've got to go check out this new theater and this new performance space. It's, if you're a teacher, if you're a theater teacher, it's going to make you jealous, that's for sure. But it's incredible. Well, thank you for letting me, re-interview you, Gilmore Academy. You're all amazing, and I wish you many broken legs as we navigate our way to a better future for theater. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Well, folks, the proverbial 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. Once again, big thanks to Gilmore Academy. They were sensational. They always are. You can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket at facebook.com, Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm on Twitter at Program Ticket. The website is yourprogramisyourticket.com. Your Program Is Your Ticket is on iTunes and SoundCloud and a bunch of other platforms as well. I find myself on a new platform all the time, which is great. I'm also on a new theater website. It's like a platform. It's called Thespi, and it's run out of the UK. And not to brag, but I've been in the top 5 out of 60 podcasts for a while now, and so I'm really proud of that. And they do a really good job. Join them and support them. They're awesome. They have, you know, lots of great content on there. By the way, I appreciate all good ratings, reviews, and subscriptions to my stuff. So if you could do that, that really helps with my profile. A quick thanks to North Coast NYC, the hip hop improv theater ensemble that does my intro and outro music. You might be hearing it right now if I'm on my editing game. If not, you'll be hearing it soon. Folks, take a little time to visit theater websites and see what they have to offer as we transition through and out, and we will transition out, of this pandemic. Watch their content, give them all great ratings and reviews, and most importantly, donate, donate, donate. They can get grants, etc., but a donation is fast, and it gives them money fast, and that really helps quite a bit. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until our next show, so long, theater people, and curtain.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.